Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Angelina Hurley on Let's Talk.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Yes, this is Angelina Hurley. And before I start today's show, I'd like to acknowledge country and acknowledge the traditional owners, the Jagera and Turrbal peoples of the land we're recording from and speaking on today. I got a bit excited because I've always wanted to have a yarn with Mob and a couple of people about comedy and humour. And I met a brother recently at Bowl Black and Beautiful, and I got to yarning, and I got really excited to find out that he is doing stand-up in Brisbane around the comedy circuit. And for Brisbane, that's rare as hen's teeth to see a brother doing that. It has been done in the past, but I'd like, my special guest today is Brother Leon Folwood. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
How you going?
Very good, thank you.
I was hoping to have another sister in who'd walk the boards a little bit too with stand-up comedy, but here our producer Karen Durante's gonna have join us too on the conversation.
Yeah, so I'll be your spare wheel, eh?
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. But, brother, when you told me that, I got really excited about it, and I still haven't managed to see your show yet. But the other thing I should let everyone know is that as soon as I heard that Brother Leon was doing that, we went and did a review of the Brisbane Comedy Festival and some of the shows there too. So yeah, we'll talk right. about that as well. Mm. But I'll let you introduce yourself, brother.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, so my name is Leon Folwood. I'm originally from the Torres Strait, so born and raised up there.
So who you Mob Leon?
Mm-mm. Oh, from the east there is the Ugaramle people. I was from Stephen Island, and then from the west, Italgal, Mawalgal people from Moa Island. But the Aboriginal side too is from Far North Queensland, Kukuyalanji and Girume, up that way.
Proper melting pot up there in the Torres Strait.
Hey, melting pot.
Real melting pot. Because as you know, I'm from Torres Strait too.
Yes.
So similar sort of family line. So my mob are Miriam through my dad's line, and my mother's line were from Mobiag. Got links to St. Paul's as well, but Wagadagam. So yeah. And
solid.
Leon's parents and I, we sort of, they're a little bit older than me, but we all sort of know each other. Mm. They were heavy into basketball scene and sporting scene and that sort of thing. And then our mothers and Leon's grandmother hung out socially. That's all we could say, good ways.
Solid. Yeah. So how long you been down here, brother?
I came down in 97.
Oh, true.
Yeah, so for a little while.
Yeah.
Came straight down to Brizzy and went to uni. Oh, I went to TAFE first.
Yeah.
And I went to uni and studied law.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So what made you, how did you get into this doing stand-up in the comedy field?
Oh, it's always been on a sort of a bucket list kind of thing, and life has always been a bit busy, with my career and sort of moving around the place.
What, law's not very humorous, is it?
No, not really.
It can make you laugh, I think you laugh
for other reasons.
No, it was law. I've got a real clown side to me, although people that probably know me that don't know me very well would find that hard to believe, but law wasn't catering to that, I suppose. And like I said, it was always been a bucket list sort of thing. And now I've just had the time later in life to explore this now and see where it goes.
So what's sort of your inspiration? Like, I grew up with comedy, very old here at my age now. I grew up with old comedy, very English influenced stuff, like the Monty Python stuff when we were kids, and those old terrible English, the goodies weren't that bad, but the goodies and all of that sort of stuff going on.
You're talking about Benny Hill.
That was terrible. That's the Benny Hill. But people, I'm sure blackfellas were laughing at that. Then in the 80s, all that African American stuff came over, and no one's funnier than Eddie Murphy, and all of that stuff was influenced. Yeah. We had good times after school and, all of that stuff. So where does, what's inspired you? What are your favourites?
A lot of the same experience, actually. So, we only had ABC up there and TI for a long time, and so you got all that British comedy. And, at that time, I suppose, that was an early influence, but that's very slapstick sort of comedy that the British have.
Mm-hmm.
I think the comedy sort of more came from this community. Like, you know, when mobs sit around and they have a yarn, someone, or you're going to always have a clown there, and then you're always going to have them real funny yarns.
Yep.
And I
love how they, you know, always repeat that same yarn.
Yeah,
that yarn. It's not just in Torres Strait culture, no. But it's Aboriginal culture too, because you sit down with them elders down this way too when they yarn you that story. And, you know, it's like you laugh the first time and then they tell it again and you still laugh the second time.
Yeah,
but, you know.
That's it. Yeah, so I think community, and then the same, obviously, you know, you get that American influence in relation to the sort of comedy from coming from America as well. So
yeah, first and foremost, I think, the influence has been for family and family stories. Hey, and it doesn't matter how many times you hear that family yarn or that funny story. Yeah, you always laugh. And I was talking to a cousin just yesterday and he said, I have to leave the room. He doesn't know how many times I hear that. I have to roll over. I just have to leave. I can't hear it again. And they go on and on and repeat it and extend it and exaggerate it.
I love that. Yeah.
So what sort of, who's your favourite comedian?
I'd have to say Dave Chappelle.
True.
Yeah, I love his style of comedy because he seems to be a very highly intellectual sort of person, and he can take some really complex issues and sort of bridge it across a mainstream audience. His stuff's very edgy. Mm. So he says some real stuff and then he breaks it with the joke, and I don't know, that's just sort of the most appealing comedy.
Well, Rob, some of the biggest names in sports and in entertainment are on the line tonight, and I'm excited to see who's going to be drafted by which race. Seated behind me on the stage there are the various representatives, and believe it or not, the blacks have actually won the first pick.
Wow, that's the first lottery a black person's won in a long time, Billy.
Yes, and they'll probably still complain.
Man, you. Well, the black representative is heading to the microphone now. Why don't we take a listen?
Me and black delegation. Chief Tiger Woods.
No surprises there, Buzz. The richest and most dominant athlete in the world. His father, black. His mother, Thai. Well, it doesn't matter anymore because now he is officially black. Dave, the Asians have got to be upset.
There's no question about that, Robert. But you got to think about it. He's been discriminated against in his time. He's had death threats. And he dates a white woman. Oh. Sounds like a black guy to me.
I think he's just like comedy gold on the racism stuff, you know. Mm. And my favourite sketch from his was the blind African-American guy who doesn't know he's black, who's a white supremacist.
Yeah,
he got adopted.
That
was my favourite. And he's going around calling black fellas the N-word when he's a black fella because he's blind. He couldn't see anyone. It's just gold. But he had his bit of a, you know, downturn there. And I don't know. Do you think he's been as funny or it's hard road back?
Yeah.
Because he came out and everyone was busting to see him and he performed here and everyone was really disappointed.
Yeah, I didn't see him when he was touring Australia, but just knowing, like, he's done a few Netflix specials.
Yeah.
And I think his earlier comedy was sort of a little bit more funny. But he's still obviously got the knack.
What was your favourite? Is there a favourite David Chappelle?
I find that one that sister just mentioned there to be probably one of the highlights out of his work. Yeah.
Did he do, who was it? Was it, Chris Rock did the one about the gun violence.
Yes.
You know,
that's gold, hey.
You could solve it simply by just driving the price of bullets up because then people wouldn't be, you know.
Yeah, that's brilliant. See, he was my favourite too. And another one who kind of ended up disappointing me because I saw his last show when he came out. He's my favourite. Like, I loved Chris Rock. And then it turned into this big, you know, personal story about his divorce. And it was bit disappointing because it was just him whinging about the situation he was in, and like that sort of hardship and that things happening to you can be funny, but it just it was disappointing the way he chose to tell that story, and it seemed like a bit disrespectful to his ex-wife and kids, but it didn't come across as funny at all.
Mm.
How much do you draw from personal experience like that when you're telling yarns?
I think, because I'm relatively new, so I put out there, I've only sort of started comedy in the last sort of four to 5 months. But I find that, you know, I got to be true to myself. So I most of my stuff is about my experiences and how I see the world.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to bring too, is like a brown or a black person's perspective to a sort of mainstream audience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's usually a lot of, like, if not all, of my personal life.
Do you have to find that you have to explain where the Torres Strait is to your audience? Or
yeah, well, that's part of, you'll see, if you ever get to see me, and I should be sort of on YouTube at some stage, that's how I start, because it has to, I believe I have to give that background.
Mm.
But the thing that I'm worrying about now is, like, if I keep saying that, then it's going to get tiring really quickly. Like, people will know, oh, here we go, he's using the same opening or the same opener. But I think after a while, hopefully we'll get that people will know me well enough that they know that.
Mm.
But it's important to highlight. And especially being from the Torres Strait, like, you know, there's not many people that are aware of where the Torres Strait is or where Thurs Island is, you know.
No.
So I really
they do now after the Commonwealth.
Hello. That's true. That's very, very true. Yeah. Yeah, but it's ridiculously surprising, isn't it, how you do have to explain that to people. But I think it's all right to keep doing, like, there's heaps of people that run the same routine for ages, for a year or two. Mm. That's, you know, totally okay to do.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go to a quick break and continue.
On 98.9 FM with Angelina Hurley.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here talking about comedy with Sister Karen Durante and Brother Leon Filewood, our Brisbane resident stand-up comedy dude, treading the boards here in the venues. As rare as hen's teeth, as I said before, not many people are doing it. So here, when you're doing that, brother, when I go to comedy shows, I actually watch the audience as much as I watch the performer, because I'm really interested, especially when I'm seeing, you know, mob do comedy, I'm actually really interested in how the audience responds. And I was, the first time Chris Rock came out, I actually flew to Sydney to see him because I was so excited. And me and my cousin went, and the Migaloo's sitting next to us. Before he started, this Migaloo fella said to his wife, "Laugh when they laugh." And my cousin went, "What did he say that for?" And I'm like, "I don't know. How weird. What a bizarre thing to say." Yeah. Like, laugh when they laugh. You just laugh when something's funny, you think it's funny. Mm. You don't have to laugh when the black fellas laugh.
Yes.
And then that made my cousin paranoid. And she's sitting next to me. She goes, "No, don't laugh loud, sis, cuz don't laugh. Shut up. I'm going to laugh louder now.
Well, have you got one of those distinctive laughs that ring out?
Oh, no. Well, you should know from the complaints into the radio station where Angelina laughs too much.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. And my friend's favourite line is if you go out and you're supposed to meet Angelina somewhere and you can't find her, just stand still for 5 minutes and you go, oh, laugh, coming over there. She's over there.
Mm.
Yes. But how do you notice that from audience? What's the response? It's probably different. Okay, from two perspectives, from you being an audience member and from you actually being the performer.
Well, from an audience perspective, I definitely look around too to watch and see how the audience are reacting to certain things being said, obviously, by the comic.
Yeah.
I haven't had the opportunity to observe an audience responding to Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander comic yet, which is sort of ironic. But from on the stage, I think I'm really at the beginning of exploring how to engage with the audience. So I'm looking at them, but really when I'm up there, it's a flash.
Yeah.
So you're sort of, 1 minute you're up there and the next minute you're sitting down. So I've needed to really savour the moment and take the opportunity to see and watch what the reactions are. Because I find I fixate on a couple of people and I watch them, I don't know why, but I need to, obviously look at the whole of the audience.
Have you got any funny reactions so far?
No, not really. The other week, about a month ago, there was a fellow that came in off the street because these are all sort of pub gigs. And he looked a bit rough, and I thought, oh, this fella's going to heckle. And he was heckling the people before me.
Oh.
So I was sort of watching him and, waiting for him to have a go, but he wasn't. Actually, he was really well-intended, and he sort of engaged with me when I was saying certain things within my set, and, like, he was asking me questions, and it helped my performance or helped the show sort of thing. So, no, I haven't had too many sort of weird things. The thing that I found distracting, though, is when people aren't looking at you, or if they're sort of rubbing their forehead or rubbing, like this one fellow had two hands on his head and it looked like frustration. So I don't know whether he was acting frustrated to what I was saying or something personal in his personal life. I don't know, but it put me off a little bit.
Oh. Yeah.
So have you had anyone sort of help mentor you at all?
Yeah, the Deadly Funnies, we had Andy Saunders come. He was part of the Deadly Funny crew that came around to do the heat. So he was really deadly. I've seen his stuff, but I didn't know who he was, I must admit. But after that day, obviously, I knew he was. Stephanie Tisdale? Mm-hmm. I'm probably saying her name wrong. Sorry, Steph, if you're listening. She's been amazing. She has been probably my mentor. I consider her my mentor. Yeah. And I know that she's mentored by people like Andy Saunders and what's that brother boy there? Mad one, the maddest one out of them all. Chulbra, Sean Chulbra.
Oh, Sean Chulbra.
And then there's Kevin there too. And I'll always say his name, surname wrong, is it?
Copanieri.
Yeah.
Copanieri, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all mentors to Stephanie, and she's my mentor. So I feel like, that there's a good sort of generation or two that's above that, can mentor young comics coming through.
Yeah, solid.
Mm. And there wouldn't be too many Torres Strait Island comics.
No.
Around.
There's a lot in the community, I tell you that. And I don't know why they're not trading the boards. I know.
We're funny.
See, I'm very biased with Queenslanders, just period. I just think we're the funniest. Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone knows that I'm still attempting to do a PhD writing on the topic. But, my argument is that our humour is, unique.
Mm.
And, like, I keep getting these discussions with Migaloo Saint, and then they say to me, oh, but humour is universal. Everyone's got a sense of humour. And I'm like, no, they don't. And Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander humour is very specific. Mm. I don't know, what you reckon?
No, I agree, but I suppose I'm biased because I grew up, in that community and I just think mob are mad,
Yeah.
And you look forward to sitting in, if not sorry business. And even in sorry business time, them fellas will find it hard to sit there and mourn because they'll be cracking jokes and acting silly.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, hey, we're supposed to be mourning here, but you
know. I know, sorry business.
Everybody's laughing about something, but, I guess that's why we're resilient because we use that humour and that comedy. The family community coming together and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's healing.
Yeah.
Mm. As they say, laughter is the best medicine. And whoever penned that must have been an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person.
I think so. Let's just claim it all, sis.
Yeah,
that's it.
We'll reclaim that too.
reclaiming everything.
Yeah, why not?
So what did they specifically say in terms of, so if you are worried about being heckled or, you do make that eye-to-eye contact with an audience member and you're not sure whether your material is going over well. What's their advice to you? And have you grasped it or found your own way?
No, well, I haven't actually broached any of that with whether Steph or anyone else. I've always just asked them around, sort of seek mentoring around material and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. I think it's just going to be part of the journey, part of the learning is, you know, because every audience is different. If you go to Paddington and your audience there compared to an audience here at West End or somewhere else, it's always, and different demographics too. So, you know, West End might be the sort of more grungy, younger age, whereas you go and do another gig somewhere else, it's sort of more older.
Oh, true.
So you
can't do too many social media jokes then. That's ageist, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, so it's I think it's a learning, and I've, you know, the journey's just started for me, but I just try to be patient and just think, not because you feel bad if you know, I don't think I've bombed yet. I've told a few jokes that people didn't laugh at.
True, and like
you just
what?
Go,
and without giving your set away.
Oh, no, that's why I probably won't use this joke anyway.
Because it bombed, nagging.
Yeah, true. there's one part there where I say. This actually is a part of the set where I say, look, multiculturalism, like I've got a mix. And then towards the end of that sort of I say, you know, I like to consider myself the poster boy for multiculturalism and diversity. And I told that to a black audience the first time I told that joke and everyone cracked it. Mm. And then every audience other than that, they've just, it was quiet. But then I followed that up very quickly with, you know, I consider myself the poster boy for multiculturalism and diversity and Pauline Hanson's Worst Nightmare. And they laughed there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I pick it up there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, she mentioned Pauline Hanson. She must be giving you plenty of material right the moment.
she has.
Yeah, I had that discussion with someone down south on Victoria one time and they said, oh, you know, you've got to understand the... you know, over the Pauline Hanson stuff. I said, yeah, so are we. That's why it's in our routines all the time. Mm. We have to live with it. You don't understand. Mm. Yeah.
Does it take a lot of guts to get up there? I mean, you know, as a practice broadcaster, I get to sit behind a microphone and get to tell people stories and that sort of stuff. But I think to be up on stage in front of people that you can see would be nerve-wracking. Yeah. And I don't know, Leon, you seem like a shy type.
Mm.
Just, you know, from outward appearances. So I guess you can't really tell, really.
I am actually sort of very shy, but I think I found in the times that I've got up, because before I did stand up, I went to like 7 open mics and just sat quietly at the back and watched everything and watched everyone. And And sometimes, like this sounds terrible, but sometimes there's some people that get up and they're just not funny at all.
Uh-huh.
And then you think, well, they're giving it a go and they're learning and they're growing, so it's all right for me to do the same.
Mm.
So you get up, and it does take a bit to get up there. And once you're up there, it's about remembering the logic of your jokes, like the order of your jokes. And if I miss something, because if you miss something, it might throw the whole set out. So it's, but those things you just, I'm thinking, I just got to learn on my feet as I go.
Yeah, true. Hey, I love the way. Who did I see recently that I really liked? I saw Arj Barker, and you know he's been. I've seen him quite a few times, and there's, you know, off and on, but I always find him funny. And he does this really long story and then brings it back around again. So I kind of relate in that sort of, you know, Murray, you know, way about the long yarn and then telling the joke all over again, sort of like bringing it home. So that he was hysterical. He was hysterical last time I said it. I don't really laugh at too much slapstick and stuff because sometimes I laugh at it once and then it gets annoying to me. But like he was just, I found him this tonight just absurd, and the absurdity of his set was hilarious, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about more of it when we come back from the break.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry. Be happy. I'm not worried.
This is Let's Talk on 98.9 FM with Angelina Hurley.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking comedy and we're talking stand-up and we're talking everything. I don't know what we think's funny, how hard it is. No. But Karen and Leon, what do you think about the Australian comedy scene? It kind of annoys me because I was watching, this brings to mind, because I was watching, you know, have the big Melbourne Comedy Festival. And every year it's like broadcast as this big event. And I don't know. I don't find very much of that stuff funny. And I don't know how they pick the big names to actually. But I find an Australian comedy scene very male dominated, very white male dominated. And I don't find. I don't know.
It's interesting that you say that. So, you know, this whole business that's been going on around Facebook and how it's been using our data and stuff like that with the Google Analytics and what have you. So the stuff that I've been seeing about the Melbourne Comedy Festival must be based on what I like. So interestingly, I've been seeing a lot of black comics or comics of colour. So I guess they have been in the mix.
So they're in the festival, we're just not seeing them on the TV.
No, and so, you know, I've been seeing their routines and so, but the, and then of course, you know, I've been reading the comments, which I've been told by yourself and by Angela and by Chelsea not to do.
Not to read.
But I cannot help myself. Yeah. It's like somebody's bothered to write this stuff down. Might as well see what they're saying.
True, and what are they saying?
And of course they're saying, oh, you know, they're bagging the Melbourne Comedy Fest for being anti-white and
the
reverse racism.
Oh my God, it's a Commonwealth Games argument all over again. How ridiculous. You're kidding.
That's what I've seen. But this is based on my likes and my things through Facebook.
Yeah. I haven't actually read the commentary, but yeah, look, I've seen about three non-white people on the comedy circuit. I don't know. Brother Leon, we made a point of going to the Brisbane Comedy Festival and seeing some acts. Yep. And I purposely stayed away from the non-Indigenous acts only because I wanted to see something else. It's very white in Brisbane, and the festival is. So it was there was about three people on the bill that you could actually choose to see. But there were some women that I wanted to see, but I didn't get to. So what are the shows that you saw?
Well, I went to see that Sri Lankan brother, but I forget his name now. You saw him as well.
Oh, I know, terrible. I can't pronounce his name properly.
Stephen Amos?
Yeah, I saw Stephen Amos, yeah.
So he's a British black man.
Yep.
And who else?
He's been coming to Australia for yonks, hasn't he?
Yeah. So he has. And then I think the rest were sort of the white comedians.
Yeah.
I'll have to admit that the first time I went to the Brisbane Comedy Festival was to go and see Will Anderson.
Oh, true.
This is ages ago. I had a thing for Will Anderson.
Oh, did you?
He's a good comedian. I rate him.
I like the stuff that he does on Grew and Transfer.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's a cat lover too. I'm a cat person.
Oh, is that what sold it on him? Oh, really?
We have this connection.
Oh, okay.
With cats.
I don't know. I tend to like political humour myself. I like a lot of satire.
Mm.
You know, people don't like satire for some reason, but I don't know.
Liking Tom Ballard at the moment too.
Oh, true? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I liked Stephen Amos has been off and on a little bit too for me because I saw him in Melbourne years ago a couple of times. But I actually, you were saying to me you didn't like so much his routine this time. Not he did this explanation of the racism around the Gollywog dolls, which I thought was good.
Mm.
So that amused me. What did you reckon?
Yeah, no, I thought it was... Well, he's definitely a funny man. Obviously, he's a high-profile comedian. But I don't know, there was this... I don't know, maybe I expected more from him. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Now, he's one of those people that you really watch the... those big comedians like that you really watch the audience really carefully too.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, you know, black jokes.
Yeah.
And he was putting it in a way that's not so straight up. So a lot of black followers, comedians who put it just straight out there and we just laugh hysterically. But I think he was being quite PC about stuff. But I started to want... My mum thought he was hysterical. She's sitting next to me crying, like laughing loud. But I noticed some of the audience are always still wondering whether are they laughing with us or are they laughing at us?
Mm.
How much do they really get it?
Mm.
Are they laughing because... You know, that black joke is funny because they're laughing at black people. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah. I don't know, but that's one of the reasons why Dave Chappelle took a break from his career because he realised that they weren't laughing sort of with him, they were laughing at him.
Yeah.
Which sounds ironic because he's a comedian, but, you know, laughing for the wrong reasons as opposed to the right reason. Mm. So.
And for me, comedy is like with movies. I just go for purely the entertainment value.
Really. Troy, you don't think about it that much.
I don't think too deeply about it.
Okay,
if
that's
it's
fair
funny,
enough.
If it's tickled my funny bone, then great. Yeah. But I do like the satire. I have to say, you know, because if anything, it's probably an easier way to break it down to people that. You know, about very complex issues, particularly around race and about this whole country's history.
Yeah.
You know, I think you need that. And, you know, I think Aussies like a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And they can laugh at themselves,
you know,
if delivered the right way. And I think that's a powerful way to get that kind of message through.
Yeah, we have a dry sense of humour. I've been told by a couple of, Migaloo film producers that they actually think Australian people get their sense of humour from blackfellas out of colonisation. I'm like, oh, you stole that too. And they reckon it was just from hanging around blackfellas because you're so dry. And they actually, I was like, thanks for telling me that. And now that you think about it, I think you're right.
That's why I think I like Carl Barron.
Oh, I love Carl Barron.
Yeah.
He's the funniest. He's got to be the best Aussie comedian for sure.
Do you think he is?
I like to think so. I love his stuff.
Oh, no, I got to go.
Who's your favourite?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to play favourites through countries and stuff like that. I mean, at the moment, my favourite is, and it comes and goes, my favourite at the moment is Trevor Noah. I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love Trevor Noah. I was just watching a little bit of him now, you know, talking about the white South African woman who was jailed.
I know.
For saying their, you know, the South African equivalent for the N-word, you know, the K-word.
Mm.
And just the way that he delivered it, you know, and, it's like, wow.
Yeah, good.
He's funny. He makes a good point.
Yeah,
In a good way.
Yeah.
I like racism the way he does it. Is not, you know, yeah, racism isn't funny when you're on the receiving end type thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is that, hey, hang on there, this is a white woman who's been jailed, not a black fella.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the
for a change.
Well, that's the butt of the joke comedy there. Well, not really, but, you know, we're not laughing. We're laughing at the Migaloo in this circumstance. And there's something to be said for laughing at, you know, the most disadvantaged person. You know, that's why saying N-word jokes if you're not African-American, all that stuff is not funny. I don't know. What do you think about self-deprecating humour?
I actually don't like when they use the N-word, whether you're African-American or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't get past it.
I don't think many of our mob actually do own and use that in the comic sense.
No.
But, I can't. Yeah. It doesn't sit well with me and I don't know how that's... I don't think how that ever is going to really work.
I get that the argument about, you know, taking that word back and taking the power away that it has over people, how it was used to control people.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of fresh for some people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you think of your elders and that sort of thing, and it's the 60s wasn't so long ago.
Well, that's it, yeah. My sister was having that, not argument, but that debate about the G word for, you know, for Aboriginal women, for, you know, for black women.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I can't agree with that either. That's too close to home for me, you know.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Self-deprecating comedy, you know, I've lived all my life. Part of the reason why, you know, early days became a lawyer, went to law school, was to smash and to remove stereotypes around black fellas, you know, being lazy and drinking in the park, you know, in the park and, you know, dole bludging welfare. So I've lived my life in the face of those stigmas and stereotypes. And then you get, you know, unfortunately, comedians, whether Indigenous or not, well, especially Indigenous, that think that it's funny to tell a joke and to ingrain some of that stuff. Like for community... We know that it's funny because it's just amongst us, but if it's being broadcast to a broader community, it's only cementing their stereotypes. It's only cementing the stigmas that they have, the negative stigmas, you know, in Aboriginal people are alcoholics, you know, they're gamblers, they're this, they're that, and you just go, oh. You know, we work too hard to remove ourselves from that. Some of us like to do those things, but it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's...
There's a way of telling that kind of story.
Yeah.
You know, we always got that one cousin, you know.
Yeah.
Who on the charge on the weekend or something.
She's got that cousin, eh, Leon?
Yeah. Or we got that one uncle who's the creepy one or something like that, you know. Yeah. So there's...
But you kind of keep that in-house, hey?
You keep that in-house.
Community and you laugh at it and stuff, but...
I told a joke recently where I was in a house and the light was turned off, and it's part of a bigger joke. But, you know, one of the things I asked myself and what I say in the set is like, you know, didn't they pay their electricity bill? But then I followed that really quickly to say, not saying that all black people don't pay the electricity bill, but maybe these ones didn't, you know what I mean? And so people laughed at that, but I felt like I had to clarify today to think black fellas can't pay, you know, don't pay the electricity bill or pay bills in general.
However, I would like to see comics use that bit about the whole free houses and, you know, free cars.
I'm working on a set for that. That's going to be part of a set that will be coming
up. Oh, cool. Solid. Good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I'm always just worried about it. It's even when telling yarns, you know, when you tell yarns and funny stories a lot with mob and just general conversations. But when you're translating that just in conversation back to Migaloos even, I'm always really not concerned, but it's always in the back of my mind whether they're going to take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, the stereotype that you were talking about. And, maybe I, you know, too paranoid, I overthink it too much about with comedy and watching audience and stuff.
See, it must be true because Sean said it, Leon said it, Kevin said it. Yes.
Kevin now made me laugh. Last time he came to Brisbane, he was talking about that. He's going on the road and telling all these jokes, and he goes, and you think you're kind of educating the migglers in the audience, and then afterwards they come up to you and still say that stereotype. And he cracked me up because he just made me feel like punching him straight in the throat. Mm. That was funnier than his joke. I just laughed. Yeah. But it's true, you know, it's just like, are they the laughing at or with thing? Yeah. What are they getting? But,
yeah,
you know.
Well, we can only ask a white person that.
True.
Are you laughing with us or at us?
Hey. Anyway, let's go to break and come back.
I know what's going on here. Ain't no great mystery. Y'all have lost faith in yourself. As clear as it can be. You can whine all you want to, drown in your misery. Or you can listen to me. Listen to me. Laugh and be happy. Don't you ever wear a frown. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Laugh and be happy. It's a simple thing to do. Believe in your dream and your dream will come true. For you to be a red sun shining in the sky so blue. Blackbirds singing in the trees. You be a real silver lining up there for me and you. Listen to me. Now the country that we're living in, you mean the good old USA, that's right. It's never been about keeping you out. It's about inviting you in and letting you play. So laugh and be happy. Smile right in our face. Cause pretty soon we're going to take our place. Come a whack, whack, whacking like old man trouble. Whacking on our front door. We're going to send you packing on the double. But you ain't going away no more. Laugh and be happy. Don't you ever wear a frown. Right back on your feet. Whenever they knock you down, you got to laugh and be happy. Believe me when I say, everything is gonna go your way. You'll be on top of the world.
This is Let's Talk on 98.9 FM with Angelina Hurley.
So welcome back, everyone. We're talking about comedy and humour within the community, and I've got Brother Leon Fylewood here, a stand-up comedy comedian in Brisbane, who and Sister Karen Durante helping us out today.
Yes.
But I don't think everyone knows that Brother Leon has been chosen to go to Deadly Funny in Melbourne, and you will be going down to compete tomorrow.
That's right.
How did that tomorrow. Come about?
Well, I attended. So, Deadly Funny is an avenue for mob and community to get to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's one of the programs. Apparently, it's been going for 12 years. Wes Snelling is one of the sort of masterminds behind that, and they have heats every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, they had a heat here in Queensland, and was held at Inala Wongra over at on the south side there. I forget where exactly. And there was myself and four others. Auntie Maggie Walsh is the one who won the heat, and so she got a ticket straight through to the national finals in Melbourne. And about 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call from Wes himself asking me if I would like an opportunity. So he gave me a wild card, in effect.
So
he was one of the judges on the Chelsea Bond was one of the judges on the night two of the Deadly Funny heat.
Rigged, nagging.
Few other people, but so that's how it came about. Steph, through the encouragement of Steph, she said, look, keep doing shows and going to open mics, I should say, not necessarily shows, but doing open mics, and to prove that you really want to go. I kept under her guidance and I kept turning up and doing open mics, and so she sort of put in a good word as well, just to confirm that I had been putting in the effort and trying to show that I'm
all right. So how does one then prep for this? So we're going to try and put it in some athletics sort of parlance. So you know, are you up early in the morning, warming up, doing a few laps?
Yeah, no, I think I find that whenever a funny thought comes into my mind, put it straight into my phone. So wherever I am, I'll stop what I'm doing and record. It might be something I saw or something I've heard or whatever.
Mm. During this whole process, sorry to cut you short there, Leon's been putting a lot of stuff in his phone. So we're giving him lots of rich material.
I know, so if we hear this back on stage next week, Karen.
Yeah, exactly. We want to get a shout-out.
Yeah.
Thank you to Sister Karen and Sister Angelina for all this rich material that you're giving us. Good ways.
So lots of that. And then this is getting up and having the courage to get up and do the open mic stuff and learning that way, I think. You know, a lot of the big comics, they've taken like 10 years. You know, Steph has been doing this about 4 or 5 years. She was a Deadly Winner, Deadly Funny Winner back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And now she's killing it. She's down there in Melbourne now and killing it, traveling with the, you know, the All-Stars with Kevin and Sean and all them.
Mm.
And so there's a long sort of lead-in time, I suppose. But so that's what I do. It's about writing your stuff and then testing and going to these open mics.
Question is, have you tried out your routine with your family?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of don't laugh, eh? They're just like, oh, you're real dry. You're not testing. So it never works with them. I never test my material with them.
Oh, my God. You were thinking that they would be the most sympathetic, but I guess it's probably good that you try it with your family because, you know, nobody would tell you more honest to you than your family if your material's dry.
We're pretty black. We're pretty upfront.
It's tough though because, you know, naturally we're funny people, like we you know, you can be a funny person just in our everyday working with colleagues, family and all the rest of it, but I find that when the process of sitting down and trying to be deliberately funny, then that somehow takes away from it, and you just I wish you could just capture me in these moments, but you can't, and I think that's the trick as well.
I kind of have a little bit of problem with that with the way Indigenous comedy has been portrayed on TV.
Mm.
Like, there's been a huge gap in a blackfella comedy over the years, and I'm glad there's this over, you know, so recently there's this huge resurgence and it's come back and there's heaps more stand-ups and there's heaps more of it on TV. But I kind of feel that it's too much playing into worried about the non-Indigenous audience without being just naturally funny as we... You know, blackfellas are just like you just said, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's, I don't know. What do you think?
Having worked at the ABC for a long time, you know, the programs that you did had to fit a diverse audience. And I guess that's the same for any performer, entertainer, comic.
Yeah, for sure.
That you need to know your audience. So, yeah.
So you're just saying the process, cogs behind the wheel, kind of could just be killing it a bit.
I don't know.
If I'm saying that. Oh, no, I am. I'll say it.
Are you going to get worried, though, when they do start liking your material? Because are they just doing it now because they just don't want me to start practicing on them or what?
Yeah, true. I don't know.
Are they going to be material?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you going to get in trouble? Are they going to be material?
There's a lot of material. I haven't used any of that stuff yet. I find that jokes that I've been telling has been based around heritage and culture and those sort of things from... But there's a lot of material that I have that is going to be probably more broader sort of friendly, like around when I was a lawyer, you know, and, you know, it's a very serious profession, but the clown in me always wanted to come out. So, you know, I'd fight the urge to end a serious email with lol or hashtag smiley face or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So there's different things that you can sort of draw on from your, like, I suppose my profession as when I was practicing as a lawyer.
Oh, the temptation.
Just to be simple, just to be mad. Yeah.
Hashtag lol. TGIF.
And I've told this story before, and I was sitting in a really conservative, really straight meeting, some serious meeting one time, and like we had to talk about a Indigenous issue, but you could see all the Migalos didn't want to talk about it, and I was just getting impatient, and I was like, you know, the little bit cheeky's coming out, and I'm going, oh, we're going to be sitting here for ages if we don't actually address it. So I reckon, look, are we going to actually address the white elephant in the room or what? And then I reckon, oh, is that a saying? Is it white elephant? I feel a bit racist. Shut up. What did I just say? They just all stared at me, and I went, oh, I don't think that's the saying. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's an elephant in the room. I don't know if it's white. Right.
They're all looking at me. She's having a go at us. But yeah.
Well, that'd be uncomfortable being the only black fella in the room.
Yeah, but it happens a lot. Hey.
Mm.
Yep. Do you feel like that on stage? Do you feel like the only black fella in the room with your audience?
Yeah, usually I am. Yeah, because Steph, like I said, she's the queen of the circuit, so she knows everybody, and I've had networking opportunities through Steph, and her comedy she's killing it, like I said, in Melbourne at the moment, but her comedy is very kind of in your face. It is very edgy, she raises some serious stuff. I actually haven't been to her most recent shows, but I've even read the reviews as of today, like 5 stars and getting amazing reviews, that she's addressing some real serious challenges for the country through her comedy.
Good. I like that stuff. That.
Yeah.
So is this the first time you're going to be playing to Deadly Funny Black audience?
Well, I was told that the audience in Melbourne is predominantly non-Indigenous.
Really?
Yeah. The heats. The heats.
I'd be wanting to look for.
Used to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whenever you go to something social, that sort of stuff, you're looking for that other black fella, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if it's a majority black audience, then it's going to be really fun because they'll just sort of understand from the outset.
And there's a lot of Torres Strait Islander mob in Melbourne too. They might come out to support.
I hope so.
Put on some Kapmari too one time.
Oh, I wish if anyone's listening, put a Kapmari on.
Put the call out.
If you can't do that, then, Curry Hamper will be fine.
It's all right. Yeah, you're not funny, but we'll feed him. No.
Poor fella.
We've got to give him a cup of tea and some damp, a poor thing.
It's too dry, eh?
Dry like this damper.
Leon, I'm starting to think that you should take Karen and I with you. But there's three solid Queenslanders representing at the Deadly Funnies.
Queenslander!
Yes, go with Slay State of Origin, hey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, knock those Corys out.
Kai Abram, Maggie Walsh, like you said, and Brother Leon Filewood here.
Yep.
Treading the boards and representing for Queensland at Deadly Funny. Thank you for coming in, brother.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good laughs.
Yeah, good laughs. Good luck.
Yeah, good way to end the week too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope next week we're promoting the Queensland winner of the Deadly Funny competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you reckon, sis?
Yes, Queenslander, Queenslander, Queenslander.
No more boomerang. No more spear. Now we are civilized, colour bar and beer. No more crobbery, gay dance and din. Now we got the movies, pay to go in. Lay down the stone axe, take up the steel. Work like a nigger for a white man's meal. No more boomerang, no more spear. Now we are civilized, colour bar and beer. Bunyip, he finished. Now we got instead white fella Bunyip. Call him red. No more sharing what the hunter brings. Now we work for money and pay it back for things. No more boomerang, no more spear. Now we are civilized, got colour bar and beer. Lay down the womra, war, dear. Now we got the atom bomb and everybody. No more boomerang, no more spear. Now we all civilized, got color bar and beer.
Put a smile on your dial. It's time now for another hour, right here on 98.9 FM for the best country.
We can drive with the windows down, chasing everything. Closing gaps on this open road, see what tomorrow brings. We'll find our way as we sign our names on the sunburnt canvas.